Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we stopped at verse 32 last time, so we'll begin at verse 33. Hebrews 11, 33. All right, let's begin reading verse 33, 34, and 35, if we can together, starting at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. All right, verse number 33, who through faith. What is characteristic of this chapter 11 throughout?
Faith.
Faith, that's right. All is a faith chapter. All is by faith, by faith, by faith. I remember last week we talked in verse 32 about Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and David, the prophets, and it tells what they did. Subdued kingdoms. What would that be involved with? Subdued kingdoms.
What's subdued mean? Take over?
All right, take over, brought under bondage. Made a subjection to, yes?
They rolled over them.
Rolled over them. Yes, Tammy?
Well, during the time of the judges, which a lot of these are, the previous verse, the different pagan nations were in control of Israel for a period of time until the judges rose up and then put those nations down.
All right. What did God want, first of all, the Israelites to do when they came into the promised land of the Canaan? What did he want them to do?
Drive out the inhabitants.
All the Canaanite nations, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites. Did they obey God? Did they drive them all up?
No.
They did. So they were there. So there's a battle. There's a lot of battles. So they said, okay, what about David? Did he fight battles also? And the kings of Israel, they did, didn't they? And all these different kings. Hezekiah, they always had battles. So subdued kingdoms. What's this next phrase? Wrought righteousness. What does that mean? Wrought righteousness. Were some of them righteous? Yeah, were all of them righteous? No, they were not. A lot of them were unrighteous. But many of them brought righteousness. Then obtained promises. What would that refer back to, do you think?
No, God gave them promises.
Like God gave them promises. What was the first one that had the promise, if you remember?
Of what?
Abraham.
Of any. Well, Abraham, even before Abraham. What did God say in Genesis 3?
Thy seed.
Thy seed. I will put enmity between
thy seed and his seed. His seed. Yeah,
his bruise the head. The question is here. So it was a promise. But Abraham, well, let's go with Abraham's promise. What did God promise Abraham?
It would be his offspring would be like the stars in the sky and the sand.
Sand of the sea. All right, what else?
Land and the sea.
A land and the sea.
A seed,
absolutely. Singular, Galatians 3:16 says, not as the seeds as of many, but as of one, thy seed was
Christ,
the Lord Jesus Christ. What did God promise Abraham when he... Well, first of all, what command did God give Abraham?
To leave
his Ur of the Chaldees, where he was born, and go to what land? Did he specify the land? Did he name it?
No,
land that I will show thee.
Yeah,
did he obey?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And so... God promised him. Did God fulfill his promise?
Yes.
He took him to the land. He protected him until he got there. So obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Who would that be?
Daniel.
He certainly did. What was Daniel's reason for putting him into the den of lions? Why did he get thrown in?
He prayed to God three times a day.
He prayed to God three times. What was wrong with that, according to the king?
It was against the law.
Or what does the law say? What do they put?
Any man pray to any other person or any god other than thou, O king, should be thrown into the den of lions.
Ask any petition, either God or any man, into the den of lions. Did that stop Daniel from praying?
No.
What did he do? And where did he do it?
He continued as always.
As always?
He prayed three times a day as a fourth time.
As a fourth time.
And he was facing Jerusalem and with his window open.
His window was open. So, was who did he fear most, the king or the Lord?
The Lord.
Feared the Lord most. And so he wanted to be obedient to the Lord. So when the king, now did the king really want to make this decree?
No.
I think it's, who was it that put it up to the king? Who suggested it?
His advisors.
His advisors. Remember, he had three presidents, who raised was Daniel and so on. But some of his underlings said, the only way they get rid of Daniel was how?
Trick him.
By the law of his God.
Something against the law of his God. They knew him well enough. He followed that Bible, that the Lord's word just exactly. Yeah,
I don't think the king knew what was up. He just was flattered, probably. And I don't think he had the faintest idea they were talking about Daniel.
I agree. He didn't have the faintest idea to talk about Daniel. In fact, when push came to shove and he had to put Daniel in the lion's, was he happy or sad?
He was sad.
What did he do the next day?
Got up early.
He got up early? And did he sleep much that night?
No,
he did not sleep. And what did he say at the den of lions?
Oh, Daniel,
you stole something. What did he say?
Did that God?
Did God deliver you from the lion? He talked to Daniel. He said, if he's alive, normally if you go to the den of lions, what would happen to you?
He'd be dead.
He'd be dead. So the king had faith in Daniel's God, apparently. Yes?
As you're saying, Pastor Wade, that he said, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
That's interesting. Yes. Is that at the den?
Yes, that's when the king...
That was before.
Before.
When they grew up in.
Before. That's good.
That's when the king spake.
So tell me what he said in chapter 6 after the den.
And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever.
I tell you, this king had faith in Daniel's God. Otherwise, would you talk to him?
No.
Would you talk to a dead man? I don't think any of us talk to a dead man or woman. But,
before it happened, like Andrew said, he was already saying that God was going to deliver him.
God is going to deliver. So this king really, he was a friend of Daniel. And after it came out, he was greatly appreciative of Daniel's ministry. So south the mouth of Daniel, of lions. Do you think any others that stopped them out of that? Yeah, Dick?
Yes, there was at least two that I think of. David, when he was still a little boy tending sheep, he recalled an occasion where a lion grabbed one of the sheep, and he grabbed the lion by the beard and slew him and rescued the sheep. And then there's another story about Gideon. Slew the lion, and he came back a couple days later, and the carcass, there was a honeybee's finger attached to the carcass.
Yes, and he made that little lion, that riddle.
Could I go back to the last verse?
Yes, yes.
I think this is important. About Abraham. And you know, Paul refers to Abraham in Romans 3, I believe it is, and he said, Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. And that's for us. Our faith, not our works. Our faith is counted for righteousness in the sight of God.
Right. That's very good. Also, in the book of Romans, I believe it is, Paul talked about, he delivered me out of the lion's mouth. Now, I don't know exactly what he referred to. What did the Romans do to Christians in the early days?
The
den of lions, didn't they? Or into the lion's arena.
In the theater,
to fight with the lions. The lion. Now, whether that was a true, literal thing that delivered him or not, but lions are mentioned. What is the Lord Jesus' other name?
The Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Powerful. Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he will rule and reign for 1,000 years as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, interesting. Stop the mouths. Right. Now, were the lions... Yvonne?
What's that verse we used to know about? As you delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion. We used to know that one.
Delivered out of the hand of the paw of the lion.
17.
That's it. First Samuel 17. That's right.
We used to know that one, remember?
He that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, or paw of the bear, you'll go down the hand of this listening.
That's right.
Pardon me?
I think we just looked at it last
week. We looked at that just
last week.
Last week, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so God did deliver, and does God, yes.
I'm just saying, as you're talking about Daniel, being, you know, being referred to in Hebrews, being faithful and a man of faith. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Yes, so he was faithful to the Lord, wasn't he? Absolutely. Yeah. Very good. I don't remember what my next question was. I was on top of it and forgot about it. But on Daniel, and all these things, stop the mouths of lions. Oh, here's a question. Did God always deliver his people?
No.
He did not always deliver, but in some cases he did. What about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What was the fate that they were going to have?
Next verse.
Well, they were
fiery furnace. Oh, okay. Is that next verse? Oh, yeah, question, okay. But even before we got there, talk about deliverance of God, the fiery furnace, what was their sin? Why did they have to be thrown in the fiery furnace?
Down the image.
What was the signal that everyone that was there in the presence, this huge image, what was the signal that everyone bowed down?
The trumpet, the music,
all kinds of music. Crazy music. But about a what did these three Hebrew children do at that music?
They just kept standing.
And the question was asked, why did you do this? And so they were. The command was to do what for them?
Throw them into the fiery furnace.
The fiery furnace. In fact, they heated so many times hotter. Seven times hotter. He's thrown in. That's in verse 3, for quench the violence of fire. What did the three say to the king?
What
did the three Hebrew children?
And if God would save them, he would save them. If not, then.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He said, if our God is able to deliver us, but we, nevertheless, whether he delivers us or not, we will not bow down to that image. And so they had a tremendous faith in the power of God. Now, it could be he wouldn't deliver, but he wouldn't. Now, what happened when they threw these three in?
The ones that threw them in were killed.
They were killed. And slaughtered, and then when they what was it?
Ten. Sorry, there was a fourth.
Yes, and they looked in there. What does it say about that fourth?
The likeness of the Son of Man.
Like unto the Son of Man.
Or Son of God.
Son of God. Like unto the Son of God. Or like unto the Son of God. Who do you think that was?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ in Christophany, pre-incarnate Savior. There. And now, what does happen usually when you get into a burning fiery furnace? What happens to your clothing?
Burns up, smells like smoke.
What happened to their clothing?
Nothing.
Not even the smell of smoke. They came out. Who was the one that delivered these three?
Jesus Christ,
the Son of God. What did the new version say about the Son of God? Of that verse. How did they change it? How did the new version change it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, a son of the God. See, that's all they said. Son of the God. No, not the Son of God.
Oh.
And they changed the whole thing because they don't believe in the miracle, the deliverance. Now, was the fire real?
Yes.
How do we know it was real?
Because it killed those men.
It killed the ones who were throwing him in. Were the lions real?
Yes.
How do we know they were real? The
Bible says they were real.
Yeah, what happened? What happened to the ones?
It killed those that broke the law.
Before they even hit the bottom.
What, the ones that threw them in, right? People, is that right?
No, it was the ones that made the law. They wrote it.
The ones that wrote the law, they threw into the den of lions?
Yes.
Who did they throw in?
I think so.
Daniel 6, what do we got?
The men and their families.
Of whom? Of which men?
Of the men that wanted to get rid of Daniel.
The ones that set the law.
Okay, what did they do? They said, bring those men. Is that what they said?
I forgot that.
Daniel 6.
Tell me what it said. Bring those men?
Yes. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives.
The lions
had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den.
So were these real lions?
Yes.
Were they able to kill people and break bones? Yes, they were. It proved it. Now, the reason, why do you think the reason is the women and children, in addition to the men, were in there?
I don't know.
What is the reason?
They must agree with their husbands.
All right. What does conspiracy mean? conspiracy. Right, the murder, conspiracy to steal.
A plan.
They're in on it. Apparently, they went along with it. Remember, there's another instance of that. Remember Aiken, who stole the money?
Uh-huh.
And the whole of the family was right there. They had the money. Probably the family knew about the money. They were part of the thing and part of the plan and said, we're just as guilty as the one that actually did the stealing. So apparently these others were... That's the way the Lord works. He doesn't do anything illegal. You're wrong. And?
It reminds me of how, Jezebel was telling Ahab to do different things. He was just sort of sulking about not being able to have Naboth's vineyard, but Jezebel did all this planning so he could get it. And then also I think Haman's wife was telling him to build the gallows and so forth. And so on.
So there were conspiracies and ones that tell the ones to do it. So we don't know the details, but I'm sure that was the situation. And these people were very happy. Eddie, you got something?
No.
Oh, okay. Nice. Put your hand. All right. So they quenched the violence of fire. What about this next one in verse 34? Escaped the edge of the sword.
We're
on verse 11:34 of Hebrews. Yeah. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261. 9018, give us a call, say hello if you can. I know we're having some trouble with our internet at this time. We hope we work it out for this next week. Maybe nobody can hear us out there, but if you can, give us a call or email. 856-261-9018 is the phone, or 856-261-9018. All right, in verse 34, they escaped the edge of the sword. Anybody that did that?
About the soldiers who were with Gideon.
All right.
And God killed off their enemies with just a handful of people.
Yes, that'd be good, wouldn't it? How many did he get down to? How many men?
300.
That's right. He had three different companies, 100 each, and they surrounded the camp of the Philistines, I guess it's 30, and they thought that there's something was fighting against, they fought against each other. Yes, hello. Hello? Yeah, who is this?
Hey, this is George Harris.
Oh, George, yes. How are you doing, George? Yes. Are you listening to us?
Yeah, I just want to assure Dr. Witt that my family and I listen.
Good.
We listened to him this morning on the screen in our house, and it was very clear.
Good. How was he? Was he all right?
Yes, it was very clear.
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell him that. Praise the Lord, sir. Listen, we're continuing to pray for you. I hope everything worked out with you for that other situation.
Thank you.
God bless you, George. That's what it is.
And I'm watching the PowerShell also.
Good. Praise the Lord. We're going to wave to you now. You ready to wave us? Okay, here we go. Thanks, George. Wave to George Harris over in Philadelphia. Okay, he can see us over there. All right, thank you. George Harris, we knew him from Liberia, West Africa.
Wow.
We've been three different times over there, and very faithful, loves the Lord. And so I'm glad glad you're watching, George. That's wonderful, isn't it? So you see, some people are still getting through. Now, some are blocked. There's some type of a virus that's not getting through to some people. Anna?
Well, what about Peter when, Herod put... he beheaded James, and then he put Peter in prison. So, but then the angel came and got Peter out.
So he escaped the edge of the sword that way, didn't he? Peter, absolutely. Peter did.
What are some more?
I've got some others.
How about when, was it Jerusalem that was under siege? And they were on the wall, and... he said, don't speak in Hebrew. Who was it, Sennacherib?
Oh, yes. There was Hezekiah was there.
And
Sennacherib was against Hezekiah.
Against him, And didn't God take care
God
of the enemies?
God delivered them. He slew all that whole crowd. They went back to their lands. Well, yes,
Rich. He delivered Samson.
Yes, he delivered Samson. He certainly did.
When Samson took the jawbone of an ass and killed all those Philistines.
Yes, they could have escaped the edge of the sword. They could have killed him with a sword. That's very good. Yeah, Rich,
David was continually escaping the edge of Saul's sword.
Yes,
Saul
was.
To kill him.
Absolutely. And did the Lord deliver David?
Yes.
Did David want to kill Saul?
No.
How do we know that?
There were two times he had the opportunity to...
What's one time?
Well, he was in the cave.
Well, Saul was asleep,
mm-hmm.
and David was advised where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He went to him. He could have killed him right there in his mm-hmm. sleep, but instead he cut a patch of his garment off
mm-hmm.
and disappeared.
That's right. There's another point too, isn't there? Another time.
Well,
maybe a second.
That was the time when he was in the cave.
The cave.
Saul was asleep in the
mm-hmm.
cave.
But there's another time he's somewhere else.
What did he say? God forbid that I should
touch the
anointed of the Lord.
There were both times when Saul was out chasing
him. There's another time,
too. He took a spear.
Yeah, Dan had something. A spear, right? Dan, go ahead.
A spear, and then after they were on the other side down in the valley or on the other side of the plateau,
mm-hmm.
David called Abner and told Abner how horrible a job he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he had the spear. He took the spear.
Took David's spear. That's
no,
right.
His classic example
mm-hmm.
is when he went against the Goliath.
Goliath.
Goliath had a sword.
He had a big one. That's big sword. That's very good.
I was just going to say.
Yes, yeah, Tammy, Anna.
So when David took Saul's spear and then he came out to Abner and said, basically, hey, I have you. I saw a spear here. I could have killed him. What are you doing sleeping and not instead of protecting your king?
Yes, that was another instance. Absolutely right. So what did Yvonne?
Jacob escaped the edge of the sword when Esau was prepared to kill him.
That's right.
But God changed his mind.
Why did Esau want to kill his brother Jacob?
Because he was mad at
him. He stole his blessing.
After all those years.
Stole his birthright, stole his blessing. And what does the mama say to Jacob?
Run away.
Run away.
Get out of here. Go to my brother Laban.
Go to my brother Laban.
It's not his fault, really. Jacob did it on his own.
The father's lust for the food, the certain food, even though he knew, Rebecca knew, God had already told Rebecca that Jacob was going to be the one of promise.
The more promise
helping
on that.
God out.
The oldest will serve the younger. That happened there, didn't it? So did Jacob believe, Isaac believed Jacob and said this is Esau? Did he believe him?
I think.
Did Isaac believe it was Jacob?
He wondered about it.
Yeah.
He said it's a voice.
Did he have any questions?
Esau, you mean?
Yeah, did he think it was Esau?
Not. He wasn't sure. But then when he felt hungry, then he...
What did he say about the voice?
Like
it sounded like Jacob.
It wasn't Jacob, but the fur, because the mother had the fur.
He's like Esau.
Yes, Henry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Sorry.
There were other times in Elisha's time when there was going to be a famine,
mm-hmm.
and there were four leprous men, and the men said, well, if we go into the city, then there'll be a famine, we'll die there, but if we just stay outside the city at the gate,
mm-hmm.
we'll die. They said that they would rather die at the hands of the Syrians
mm-hmm.
if they fell into the Syrians. And so then they said, well, if the Syrians save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. They rose up at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and God had said that he would send a noise to frighten them,
mm-hmm.
and there was no man there when they went into the camp, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp, as it was, and fled for their life.
So those people escaped the balance of the sword, didn't they? So any other? Yeah, Anna.
Isn't that a rather amusing situation? They're running away from a sound.
From a sound.
Well, like, because there was really...
Yeah,
it's like you would have looked down,
mm-hmm.
and you would have, like...
Well, sometimes a noise looks like a noise of battle, alarm.
But what I'm saying is, it's funny, isn't it?
It's funny that
it's humorous.
It's humorous sound instead of actual
people. They're running away in such fear.
Eddie? It is a strange thing. But sometimes sounds and sights are not real, but people are afraid of them, right? Yes, Eddie?
How about Samson?
Okay.
Was he part of one of the escape from...
Yes, he... He escaped the edge of the sword. They could have killed him, but they put out his eyes instead.
And the hair, too, right?
Yeah, they cut off his hair. The wife got him to lie about that, or first of all, tell the truth after three lies, I guess.
And then he grew back and got the strength back.
And then
she was Delilah.
Said, show me the pillars of this big building where the Philistines were. And so he brought them all down. They could have killed him, so he did escape the sword from that standpoint. They could have slaughtered him.
They wanted him to suffer.
They wanted him to suffer.
Yeah.
So they blinded him. And
they did it out of spite because he'd done so much damage to the Philistines.
Yes. Remember, he killed the ones to get the foreskins of the Philistines and kill the foxes, all kinds of things. He did a lot of things. He escaped from the foxes. What did he want? How many foxes did he want? Had to get so many tails of the foxes, remember, to give to them?
200.
200?
Answer the riddle.
Answer this riddle. So anyway, he has a real problem, Samson did, but women were one of his chief problems, weren't they? He had one, two, at least three of them, I guess.
And the wrong women.
The wrong women, absolutely. All right, any other on escaping the violence and edge of the sword? Yes.
There was a time when the Lord killed the 185,000 that looked like a sea of blood that they didn't attack. Mm-hmm. It's just so God saves the people from that army.
Yeah. Yes, that army was saved. That violence, the sword to Eddie and then Bob. Go ahead, Eddie.
She's done.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by the sword? I mean, are you talking about deliverance of sword or any kind of deliverance?
Any kind of deliverance, especially.
What about Moses?
Moses was spared, wasn't he?
He was delivered from the Red Sea.
That's right. And he was delivered from the bulrushes. They could have saw their. What did the king say to all the males?
That was Pharaoh. Wasn't it Pharaoh?
Well, Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh the king say?
I don't remember.
To the males.
Kill
them. Kill all the males. That's right. Dan?
John, apostle. He's the only apostle that died a natural death, we believe.
Yes. The rest of them has very serious deaths. Yvonne?
Jesus, he was a baby, he was delivered.
Yes.
Because all the babies, all the boy babies in that area.
What was the year range?
Two.
From two and younger, they were slaughtered. Were they all slaughtered?
Yes.
So was Moses.
Crying. But
except the Lord.
Except yeah. Moses, too.
Moses was spared, yes. That's right.
Two babies were delivered,
Yes, Moses and Lord Jesus Christ were delivered from that. Yes.
Pastor, I was spared from the sword of sin.
Yeah?
By Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ. That's good. That's a good deliverance.
That's my greatest delivery.
Yes.
Amen. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, you lost your train of thought. Oh, yeah. When the train gets back, let me know.
Okay.
anything else on the edge of the sword?
Pastor, if I might.
Sure.
All these stories remind me of things aren't always how they appear.
Yes.
And that reminds me of a guy that needed a job one time and saw an ad in the paper that the zoo was hiring. Mm-hmm. So he went down and they said, yeah, we'll hire you. Our gorilla died and we have a costume. The kids really miss him. If you'll get in that costume, you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
He thought, well, it's a job, so he did it. The gatekeeper the next day said, look, you got to move around a little.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are sad. So he started moving around and he was swinging from the tree in there, the artificial tree, and boy, he really got into it. And all of a sudden, while he was swinging, the branch broke and he went up over the barrier and down in the lion's cage.
Yeah.
He looked at the lion looked at him. Oh, what's he going to do? The lion stood up. Started walking toward him. He said, help, help! The lion said, shut up, you idiot. You'll get us both fired.
He escaped the edge of the sword.
Right? things always aren't how they appear.
They aren't as they appear, yeah. Eddie, you got your train of thought back?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the three people you mentioned? Was it Sham?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that it?
That one? Okay, I thought you said Sham, Ham, and Japheth.
Oh, Sham, Ham, and Japheth. Yeah, those are the three sons of Noah.
I thought thinking about Noah. Well,
they escaped the water, didn't they? The flood. Because they went in the ark. That's right. Any others on the source? All right. This is... Now, the early Christians What were they faced with? And what was their decision? And who made what decision? And why? What was the result of the decision they made? Nero and the others, the Roman governments, what was happening to the early Christians, first century?
They were eaten by lions.
Some were sent to the lions.
Stakes.
Some to the stake. Some were burned with fire.
They had to fight
with off of the head.
Was crucified.
It? Crucified, yes. And some with heads chopped off. What was the question that the Roman government would ask the early Christians?
Sacrifice the emperor.
What was that?
Asked them to sacrifice the emperor.
Maybe sacrifice the emperor, I guess.
Because did they denounce Jesus Christ?
Did they denounce the Lord Jesus Christ?
Denounce him.
So they didn't. Who are you going to worship? The emperor, who is God, yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And what decision did they make? Did some make one, some make another decision?
Probably,
that's right. What decision did some make and what decision did the others make?
I think many of them just said they would rather serve God and do, you know.
Serve God, the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to them?
Well, they were burned and
killed. Slaughtered, offered heads, whatever, everything. Crucified. Yeah. But what about the ones that said, we worship the governor? What happened to them? We worship the emperor. What happened to them?
I don't know.
They'd be allowed to live.
They went right along with it, and no problem.
They were unsaved, really. If they were denying Christ, they were never really Christians to begin with.
We got Christians today that name the name but are not genuine today.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them. They say, I'm this, I'm that, but as Rich said, things are not always as they appear.
Mm-hmm. Some people believe that thing. They're afraid.
It's possible. It's possible for the fear of it. Yes, Dan?
There was some of the Bible someone during Tyndale's time, I don't remember who it was, but he denied the Lord because he was faced with death, but then later he realized his sin and he put his hand in first.
Archbishop Cranmer.
Okay. Archbishop Cranmer?
Thank you.
Put his hand in first?
In the flame first. When he actually was put to death later on then. So, I mean, there were people who at the time weren't ready for the cross that, they would have to face with a, burning at the stake. But then later, they understood their sin and their error.
But I think everyone in this room and others listening to us by the internet will have to make a decision maybe someday when someone asks us, do we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Redeemer, or do you want to renounce Him? Those who want to stand on this side of the room, those who want to renounce on this side of the room. The ones that renounce Him, they're spared. The ones that stand for Him, slaughtered. So we may have to make that same decision. Who knows? Are you ready to make it? Everyone is going to have to decide, maybe, who knows? We're not sure, but maybe we might have to make it. Who knows whether we will or not? But if we do, are you ready? Yvonne?
Can she tell us, Bartz, about Archbishop Cranmer, who he was?
Anna, the Cranmer story.
So it was Henry VIII, right? And Henry VIII got upset with Rome because they wouldn't let him get a divorce.
All right.
So he broke out from Rome, which, anyway, then his son, Edward VI, was actually probably a genuine believer, whereas Henry VIII, I wouldn't say that he was, especially since he was anti-Tyndale. Now, Edward VI has been sometimes called the British Josiah. Anyway, one of the people that was influential in teaching and bringing up Edward VI, because he was very young, he was like a child when he became king, like six or something. Archbishop Cranmer, was influential in teaching Edward VI, and so he was like part of the English Reformation, right? Reformation in England, and then Edward VI died without any heirs. So, according to Henry VIII's will, Edward the Edward was supposed to become king after him, and if Edward died without any children, then Mary was to become queen, and if she died without any children, Elizabeth was supposed to become queen. But of course, but Mary was Catholic, so they tried to avoid her from becoming queen by making someone else queen, Lady Jane Grey, but that didn't work out. Anyway, but so Mary became queen, and then she went all her, she was persecuting the Protestants. And
is she called Bloody Mary?
Wicked Mary.
Yes, and so, anyway, so Cranmer was one of the people that died then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, under Bloody Mary?
Under Bloody Mary?
She had him killed.
For the yes. British, she liked to use minced toast, we call her that, yes.
She was one of the three, no, he was one of the three mice. Never mind.
Three blind mice?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Was she also
three blind mice coat?
Yes, sure.
Was she also called Mary, Queen of Scots?
No, different Mary.
Different Mary?
Different Mary.
That
okay.
was a cousin.
Okay, well, thank you, Anna, for that Cranmer story.
That's nice. I like all that.
And by the way, speaking of Wycliffe and others that wrote Bibles, what happened to them?
A lot of them were killed.
That's right. They were put to death, were they not? And their bodies were...
Wasn't he dug up?
Dug up and that was Wycliffe. Burned. Wycliffe.
Dug up.
Did he die? I can't remember. Did he die naturally? Or?
Yes.
And then they persecuted his dead body.
His dead body. It's terrible the way they did. Any others on the escape the edge of the sword? All right, let's go to this next one in verse 34. Out of weakness were made strong. Anybody fit into that picture?
Henry? Samson, and at the end of his life, when he put his hands on the pillar and he was had his eyes cut out, and when he put his hands on the pillar, asked God that the Philistines would be killed, and 3,000 were killed when he pushed the pillars down. More were killed in his death than in his life.
And you prayed just this once, give me the strength back.
Sarah. She asked for strength to conceive and bear a child and deliver it.
Yes, and the Lord answered that prayer. Anna?
Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, he was given the meal. He wanted to give up and just die, but then the Lord gave him a meal, and he was able to go in the strength of that meal for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just
want
some meal.
Yes,
well, it wouldn't be in the context probably of this letter, but the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm. Out of weakness or strong?
Yes.
What malady or sickness or illness did Paul have?
His eyesight.
Thorn in the flesh. Maybe his eyes, we're not sure. Maybe it was a speech impediment. Whatever it was, a thorn in the flesh. So what did he say about that? What did he want to do about that?
Ask the Lord to remove it.
Ask the Lord to remove it. Once? Only ask him once?
Three times, right?
Did the Lord remove it?
No.
No. What did the Lord say?
My grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient. So what did Paul say when that was the answer?
Therefore,
glory my infirmities that
the power
of Christ may rest upon me.
That's what I'm
going to say. Okay. So out of weakness was made strong. Yes.
How about Moses when the Lord called him to go back to Egypt?
Yeah.
Right.
And he didn't want to go. He was afraid to go.
He was afraid? Who am I? And so on. I can't speak.
Right.
What did the Lord say to that?
I'll give you the words.
Give you the words. And also?
Give your brother
Aaron. Give your brother Aaron. And both of you will work together. So weakness was made strong. What does it say in... is Romans 8:18. See, that's something to do with the suffering of the present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. That's 8:18 of Romans. But there's another section there in Romans about being strong in the power of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6. Is it not? Be strong in the Lord's might. Be strong in the Lord.
Strengthen
me. Philippians 4:13. All these things are possible.
about Elizabeth? She was older and God gave her sword.
Yes.
It was Elizabeth, right?
Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was given strength to conceive seed.
Right.
She did.
Are any of the Christians, for example, who are very sick and feeble in the hospital beds, are they able to be strong in the Lord even though weak in body?
Yes.
Yes, they can. And I've visited several, and I know that this is the case. And a lot of us who are healthy in our bodies, maybe weak spiritually, but some of these old saints were sick in bed, but they're still strong in the Lord until the Lord takes them home. I don't understand it. I trust that you and I will be that way when we go on our deathbeds also, strong in the Lord, no matter how weak we are in our body. But this is interesting, this little phrase. Why does it say, out of weakness we're made strong? Why does it say that? Out of weakness we're made strong.
It's the power of God.
Power of God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It makes us strong. And so this is very important. If we think we're strong, what does that do to us?
Makes us weak.
Sometimes it makes us weak. If we have an egotism about us that thinks we're the best of all, we're just proud and arrogant, sometimes we're weak spiritually out of weakness. What is humility?
Dependence upon God.
What is it? A dependence upon God. Dependence on God is part of it. What else?
Not thinking too highly of yourself, I guess.
Remember the lady or the man, I don't know which it was, that said, I'm humble and proud of it. Remember that? I'm humble and proud of it. That's not humility. But this is sort of weakness, see, weakness. Yes.
Humble yourself on the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up.
He will lift you up.
Okay. Remember that in Liberia, how they sang that?
Oh, yeah, they sang that song quite often. They ready? You had something?
Oh, that's good. I forgot.
Lost your train again? Okay, when you get the train back, we'll give me a call.
Whistle.
There's a verse of scripture, I got to put my finger on it, that talks about we don't rely upon the outward flesh, but we've got to be relying on the inner spirit of God to be strengthened. Now, where is that? Well, we got the Galatians 5:19-20, the works of the flesh are these, through the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, long suffering, all these, the power. If ye war after the flesh, ye shall die, but if by the Spirit subdue the flesh, you shall live. I think in Galatians 5, you got something about this weakness. Now, let me take a look at Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit, and Galatians 5, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust, verse 24, and walk in the flesh, in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh, verse 16. So, the flesh is outward, it looks powerful, but the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the saved people is more powerful than any flesh that we could ever look at. So, that's interesting. Out of weakness, I'm made strong. Humility and mildness and meekness is a trait, isn't it? Okay, any others on the out of weakness are made strong? All right, let's look at the next one. Wax valiant in fight. I referred to that this morning. Wax valiant. What does valiant mean?
Brave.
Brave, all right. In fight. Who was it that waxed valiant in fight? How many mighty men did David have?
30.
And remember, you listed one, two, or three. Who is one that we remember for particularly?
Uriah
the Hittite, one of the mighty men. David swept his wife and stole Bathsheba out from underneath him. But none of these different mighty men. One slew the Philistine and the lion and the mist in the cave, all these different things, wax valiant in fight. What about David the shepherd boy? Did he wax valiant in fight?
Yes.
What did Saul ask him to do before he went out after Goliath?
Put on the armor.
Put on his own armor. Did David try it out?
Yes.
Well, he put it on, though. Oh, he didn't use it. What did he say after he put it on?
He had tested.
Never tested. What had he tested?
The
sling.
His sling.
Yeah.
And he took the sling. Tammy's got something. They're writing it.
Just a second. I'm sorry. What? I'm trying to get it open.
All right. Now, Dan's got something.
Dear Pastor White, hello to everyone and thank you for today's Bible study from Joe and Norma Fascio.
In California, let's wave to Joe and Norma in California. Wave, Joe. Thank you very much. Apparently, Joe and Norma can listen. See, some can, some can't. Some reason, something's wrong with our system. But we're not getting any calls, so maybe...
We didn't get a call.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
No. So what I mean is we're not getting any complaints or can't listen to you like we did on Thursday night. There was a call... telling you what. Any other things on this? Right now, we talked about the verse 34, we were on valiant and fight. Yeah. First of all, David said he's going to use the things he was accustomed to. What was David's faith when he went up to the giant? How tall was the giant, by the way?
Over
9 feet.
Over 9 feet?
9 foot 6, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 6 cubits tall, wasn't it? Be 9 foot 6, something like that. And what did David say when... How did David say he was not afraid of this man? We quoted that earlier. Father the lion. He was going to be able to handle this Philistine. And so he was used to the sling. How many stones did he take?
Five.
With only one giant, why did he take five stones? Okay.
He had some brothers.
He had some brothers. At least four brothers, so he had, in case they came after him.
High capacity clip.
What was that?
High capacity clip.
From the swing shot. Which Obama wants to take away from us. All right. So, he was fearless. He waxed valiant in the fight. He didn't have a sword, but did he use a sword in the battle? Whose sword did he use?
After the battle.
He
used his own sword.
Goliath's sword. He had his own sword. And what happened to that sword after the battle was over?
He took it with the high priest.
With the high priest somewhere in the tabernacle. And that's when he went there to visit one time. Remember, David was fleeing from Saul. He got that sword and he was able to use it. Yeah, Anna?
The reason why he took five stones, if you were going to have a duel with someone, which was essentially what he was doing, mm-hmm. you wouldn't just put one bullet in your gun. Mm-hmm.
That's true. So you want to be sure. Not if you missed with one, he did not. But you know, with all the armor that he had, and the shield and the sword and the spear, he was well, and he had a sort of shield bearer too, Goliath did. How many days had he been doing this to Israel?
It was 40?
40 days. 40 days. He came out there, one man fights me. If I win, then you're my captives. If you win, then we're your captives. You're your captives. In other words, that was a deal. And I don't know what happened, but God delivered David and the armies of Israel from Goliath and the Philistines. Yeah, huh?
Do you suppose after David killed Goliath, they put a ban on slingshots? How many stones they were allowed?
Well, I'm sure Feinstein would have made her some sort of motion of that effect.
No,
if she was still here.
I don't think it applies to combat.
Yeah, you're right.
You never know.
All right, we're going to stop right here at this verse, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, turn to fight the armies of the aliens next week, Lord willing. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Yes.
Isn't humility the opposite of arrogance or pride?
Good. The opposite of pride, the opposite of arrogance. That's good. It's humility. Devon?
I wish sometime we could talk more about humility in 1 Peter 5. Because this says humble yourself. So I wonder how you humble yourself.
Well, it's the opposite of being high-minded, as we mentioned that this morning, isn't it? The pride, egotistical.
Pastor, I wanted to mention Caleb.
Uh-huh.
As being a valiant warrior.
Yes.
When they went into Israel, he wanted that mountain.
Yes.
Yes.
How old was he when he went in there? That mountain?
I'm not sure.
80 years old.
I thought in his 80s.
See, I'm 84 right now, see. I'm as old as him.
And he was told that,
I'm going to be 85.
You're 85, you've already been.
I'm 85. We'll be 86 in December.
Okay. But he was told that all the giants that were in that land went up into that mountain.
You're right. That's good. Isn't it? But Caleb was fearless. He went right up there after him. Very good. Give me this mountain. Anna?
just stretching.
Oh, just stretching. That's what I said. Oh, you did. Sam Marie.
When you were talking about humility and being humble, it makes me think the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then along with that, Pastor Wade, it makes me think in 1 Samuel and all these battles that go on, the Israelites, the Jewish people have always been in war, it seems. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the strength of Israel.
Strength of Israel, that's a good title. Any, oh, good. Any other comments or questions for Gloria? Yes, Tammy.
Ephesians 3, Paul's making a prayer. I'm not sure if this was something you were talking about. Then he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And so,
yes, strengthened with power. That's good. Any other comments or questions before we close? Let us close with a word of prayer. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, we can discuss this Hebrews 11, all the different heroes of the faith. Lord, give us that strong faith in thy word to take care of us, regardless of pressures that may come and that do come, perhaps have already come in our lives. Help us to be valiant for the truth and for thy words. Keep us strong for thee. Keep us humble. Help us to rest upon thee and rely upon thee to take care of us. Power of thy Holy Spirit over our flesh, which is so weak, and the Spirit of God that thou hast given to us is so strong. Guide us, direct us, and go with us. Bring us back on Thursday evening for Bible study and prayer service. Continue to take care of us and use us for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.